For this first Sunday of Advent, our scripture today is based on Luke 5:1, verses 5 through 25. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when Zechariah was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before them to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." May God add blessings to the reading and the hearing and the understanding of the word today. I suppose when you first saw the theme for Advent this year, "It's the most wonderful time of the year," that song popped into your head immediately, and now you have an earworm. That song is now playing in your head over and over and over and over. The only way you can get rid of an earworm is by singing it. So come on, let's sing a little bit of the song and get it over with. Are the lyrics up there? Let's sing it. "It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year." Dear. Oh, good job, good job. Now, you feel better? Good. Well, when you see when I say wonderful, I don't mean the way we go around this time of year oohing and aahing at the beautiful sights and lights, the decorated trees and pretty presents and the snow. I mean wonderful, wondering, thinking, pondering, contemplating, wondering why, what, how. The four people will wonder about this Advent: Zechariah and Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary. They all had a lot to wonder about. For instance, Zechariah and Elizabeth wondered what were they doing wrong. They wondered why they were cursed. They wondered why their piety and service to God seemingly went unrewarded. They were living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. They were doing all the right things in all the right ways. They were righteous, and fruitfulness was promised to the righteous. So they wondered, why didn't they have the ultimate blessing from God, a child? We're good people, they thought, so why is this happening to us or not happening to us? It made them wonder if God really heard their prayers. You see, in those days, for a woman to be barren, as Elizabeth was, that was a terrible disgrace. Barrenness was even grounds for divorce. It meant there was something wrong with her, not so much physically as spiritually. There was something she wasn't doing right, or something she was doing that wasn't pleasing unto God. I imagine, although they might have not have said anything to them, their neighbors and Zechariah's fellow priests were nevertheless thinking, Zech and Liz, so pious and so moral and so upstanding and so faithful, well, why don't they have a child? They must be doing something sinful, and they think they can hide it from all of us, but they can't hide it from God. God knows. I wonder if at this stage of their lives, Zechariah and Elizabeth had stopped praying for a child. It seemed as though God had decided to keep that special blessing from them. So perhaps they finally concluded they should just stop pestering God about it. Now that they were old, what was the use of praying and hoping? Elizabeth wondered what else she could have done to have that prayer answered. More fasting, more service, more kindness to others. Maybe she should have done less. Less jealousy of other women with children, less impatience, less time spent worrying about it, and more time just trusting God. Zechariah wondered if he was doing enough. I think all priests and pastors wonder that. Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. And Zechariah did indeed wonder if Yahweh remembered him, if Yahweh saw all that he did on his behalf. Apparently, God didn't remember him and Elizabeth for their piety. Apparently, God forgot children were a tangible and visible sign of God's blessings and favor. Yahweh remembers, not now, not this time, not ever. It always seems to happen that just as you give up hoping and praying, the impossible happens. How wonderfully ironic that Zechariah's priestly duty that fateful day was to take the incense into the sanctuary of the Lord. The incense represented all the prayers of the people, prayers for forgiveness, for healing, for a good crop, for a child. Zechariah would set fire to the incense and the wisps of smoke would drift upward. As he watched, Zechariah would add his own personal prayers. Some habits are hard to give up. Some prayers are hard to give up, even in the face of impossibility. I wonder if Zechariah and Elizabeth ever thought of Abraham and Sarah, another old couple well beyond the years of fertility, who nevertheless had a late-in-life child. I wonder if they said something similar to what we might say. Oh, that was long, long ago. That was a special circumstance. God doesn't do stuff like that anymore. Indeed, for the past several hundred years, God had not been speaking to the people as God previously had been. There were no prophets proclaiming the word of God. There were no signs. There were no miracles. God had gone silent. Yahweh remembers. It didn't seem as if he did. But little did Zechariah know, God was about to usher in a new era of contact, blessing, and communication. Little did Zechariah know, God was about to speak to the people in an innovative, amazing, and exciting way. And Zechariah and Elizabeth were going to be part of God's new plan for humankind. We wonder why God waited till that time in history to make a new foray into the world. Why then? Why there? But then we must remember, God's timing is not our timing, but it is always perfect. God knows when the time is right. No need to wonder about that. As the scripture says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. The time was ripe for the advent of the promised Messiah. The waiting was about to be over. And it was all going to start with a sad old man and his equally sad and aged wife. Zechariah and Elizabeth had lived with barrenness and bitterness for so long, but now they were about to experience God and God's goodness in a new and powerful way. They were going to learn Yahweh remembers indeed. I wonder what it was like in the sanctuary, the sacred place where only the priest could go. Was it small? Was it dark? Or was it candlelit? What did the incense smell like as it burned? Did the altar of incense shine all gold and gleaming in the dim light? Offering the incense was an once-in-a-lifetime opportunity because there were over 20,000 priests. It's a matter of wonder that Zechariah was in the temple at that exact time. I wonder if God was waiting for him as much as Zechariah was waiting on God. Zechariah had been chosen by lot to perform this holy task. A coincidence? I think not. As one of my seminary teachers often said, there are no coincidences, only God's surprises. God knew what he was going to do, and God knew he wanted Zechariah and Elizabeth to be part of the biggest, bestest, grandest, most wonderful surprise in all of history. Zechariah brought the incense in, concentrating on his sacred duty, ready to burn the incense so the smoke, representing the people's prayers, could waft heavenward, straight up to God, a sweet-smelling offering. He was all alone in the sanctuary, maybe focusing on the prayers, maybe even sending his one heartfelt prayer up yet again. Then suddenly he realized he wasn't alone in the sanctuary. He wondered what was going on. Who else was there? Nobody else should have been in there. He must have been angry at first. Who dares disturb the sanctity of the sanctuary? And then he was awed and terrified. With him in the sanctuary was an angel, an actual angel. You ever notice how when angels appear to someone in Scripture, the first thing the angel says is, "Don't be afraid," or "Fear not." Do you wonder why? Well, angels must be huge and glowing and intimidating. They've sure got people's attention, and they appear from out of nowhere. This particular angel was particularly special. As he told Zechariah, he was Gabriel, and he had the honor of standing in the very presence of God and seeing and hearing God speak and carrying messages for God. He must have been shimmering with the very essence of God, the very light of heaven and hope. He must have lit the sanctuary brighter than any candle ever could, and he must have filled it with his precious person, wings and all. Of course, Zechariah was terrified and mystified and traumatized, but then he heard the word from God, and he was filled with wonder. A son at last, wonder of wonders, so many promises. His boy would do all that? His son would be all that? It was beyond his expectations, more than he had prayed for. A child who would be great like the prophet Elijah, a son who would be a messenger and a path opener and a people preparer. What a wonderful answer to prayer. And yet, even in the face of all this confirmation and all these affirmations, Zechariah couldn't help but harp on the humanly obvious and display his doubt. Liz and I are old. How is this possibly going to happen? With all the wonderful pronouncements from Gabriel, all set and firm, your son John will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. He will go before the people and prepare them for the Messiah. Zechariah latched onto one thing. How will I know? How can I trust you, angel? And Gabriel took great umbrage at that. Don't you know who I am? I stand right in front of God, and I hear God's plans, and I share God's plans, and I deliver God's wonderful messages. Zechariah wondered about the wrong thing. No wonder Gabriel got kind of indignant. When you bring such good news of such magnitude to someone, you want them to be excited and grateful and eager to get things going. You don't want anything to damper the importance of the moment or dash cold water on your enthusiasm. I wonder why we can't always accept good news. I wonder why we're always like, so where's the catch? Perhaps Gabriel expected nothing more from Zechariah than an amen or a hallelujah or praise the Lord, Yahweh remembers. But to have the certainty of his prophecy doubted and to have Zechariah answer him with a spark of snark, Gabriel snapped back at him. You're a priest. You're right here in the sanctuary, a prototype for God's own heavenly throne room. You're carrying the incense, the prayers of the people. You are in tune with God, and still you doubt? So since you said something so faithless, how about this? How about you stay silent for the whole 9 months Elizabeth is pregnant? Like my mom, and I'm sure your mom always said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. So Gabriel took it a step farther, and he showed angels have other kinds of power. If you can't be glad, Zechariah, then be mute. You don't have anything else too good to say to God's angels, so why don't you just shut up? You You want to be a smart mouth? Then be a shut mouth. Be mute until all these things happen in the proper way at the proper time. The people waiting outside the sanctuary wondered what on earth was going on. They wondered what was taking Zechariah so long in the temple. They had prayed the usual prayer, "May the merciful God enter the holy place and accept with favor the offerings of his people." They wondered if perhaps God had zapped Zechariah, and if so, how would they extract him from that holy place? They had no idea that things of heaven were actually being brought to earth in the very prototype of the heavenly throne room. They had no idea of the wonderful, wonderful angelic encounter. When Zechariah finally emerged and started making signs to them, since he couldn't talk, they knew something had happened, and they wondered what it all meant. They were still wondering as Zechariah went home to Elizabeth. I wonder how he told Elizabeth the news, how he told her about all those wonderful pronouncements from Gabriel of how wonderful their son would be. Perhaps he wrote it down for her. He somehow told her the angel had told him the child's name already, John, which means Jehovah's gracious gift. See, Yahweh does remember. Even in their joy and excitement, they must have wondered anew and in a different way. Before they wondered, why aren't we blessed? And now they wondered, why are we so blessed? Maybe when they were younger, they weren't ready for a child, but now they were. As the child John grew and began to make his mark on the world with his wild reputation for eating locusts and honey and living in the wilderness, they would never wonder, where did we go wrong? For they would always know their son was doing exactly what he was destined to do. His mission and his task was to prepare people for the one to come by proclaiming, by being a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. They never wondered again at God's power and possibilities and timing. It was the happiest season of all when Zechariah and Elizabeth's fondest hope came true. Their hearts were indeed glowing. There were holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends came to call after John's birth. Once John was born, Zechariah found his voice again, and he made a wonderful, snark-free proclamation. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant. Yahweh remembers the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, we can imagine him taking his son up in his arms and lifting him up toward heaven. You will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. There was nothing more to do but wonder at God's timing, God's grace, God's mercy, and to give thanks for all God's blessings. So let us do so. Let us pray. Lord God, it is indeed the most wonderful time of the year. We wonder at your mercy, at your timing, at your blessings. Let our hearts be filled with wonder during this Advent season. Let our hearts be filled with gratitude for your goodness and for all your blessings, especially for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, Messiah, the Holy One from on high. Yahweh remembers. Amen.
Mary, are you sleeping? Mary, I'm afraid. Mary, can I live up to the choice that God has made? Jesus, can you tell me, here upon my knee. What kind of father would I be? What can I give to you, you made from miracle, that God has given me to keep? I can't give much to you, you made from miracles, but I can hold you as you sleep. Can you learn from me, you made from miracles, when I've so much to learn from you? What can a man like me offer a miracle, who taught me miracles come true? From above, when all I have to give you is love. But if it's love you need, you made from miracle, then take my hand and hold it tight. Will give you love, sweet little miracle that God has given me tonight. Sweet little miracle, oh, what a miracle that God has given us tonight.
To be with you as always, wonderful to share this beginning of Advent with you all. Thank you all for all the blessings that you are to me, and may God be with us as we continue our journey in hope and faith and with love and joy. Go in peace. Amen.